Chapter 3. The junction between the ways drew closer. Lord Gunn never approached the command throne, but his orders now rang across the Hrafnakel's bridge. His two adjutants, Scryer and Acer, maintained their positions at the top of the wide stairway leading up to the command platform. They shared the space uneasily with Grimnir's forces, but for the moment their weapons had been placed back in their scabbards. With the advent of a genuine choice, one for which Russ's standing orders gave no guidance, all now deferred to the Jarl of Onn. Gunn himself studied the auger schematics intently. The gas tunnel, narrowing for so long, plunged down tortuously, winding like a dragged length of entrails, before reaching a spherical chamber no more than a few hundred kilometres in diameter. Two spurs ran clear of that chamber, one angling back and leading further into the nebula's heart, one heading, so the augurs told him, clear to the border. The manoeuvre would not be straightforward. The entire fleet would have to be piloted down through the aperture without losing any more ships to the encroaching gas, for he would need every lance and macro cannon for what came next. Once out in the void, there would be nowhere left to run, no shoals to beach upon, and no corrosion to devastate void shields, just a final reckoning with the Hrafnakel at its heart. Gunn knew how far the wolves would take that. He knew what they would suffer to gain the win, and he knew what pain they would absorb to break the back of their tormentors.
"You have the numbers," he thought, looking at the Alpha Legion vanguard as it maintained the chase. "You have the weapons. You have the position. But do you have the stomach?" "Enact formation change," he ordered.
The command was passed down the ranks and sent out across the fleet, and the ships began to move. For the bulk of the pursuit, Ragnarok and Hrafnakel had taken station at the rearguard in order to see off any strikes from the Alpha Legion fast attack wings. But now the two battleships started to crawl forwards, outpacing the destroyers around them, ready to assume ownership of a new vanguard. Tactics were reordered, moving from the spatial requirements of confinement to standard open void patterns. The intersection was still a long way off. The exit from the cloud was further still, but already the plan was crystallizing in his mind. The fleet would burst clear of Alaxis, slow rapidly and perform a full about to present their arms to the aperture. As the Alpha Legion emerged behind them, the wolves would let rip, concentrating all fire at the point from which the enemy had to emerge, taking out as many ships as they could. That would hurt them. It might not even up the odds, but it would make them bleed. After that, the carnage could begin in earnest, up close and ship to ship, in an orgy of shield-breaking.
"Do you have the stomach?" he thought again,
repeating the words in his mind like a mantra.
"I cannot believe you do."
"Jarl!"
came an interruption from the sensorium decks.
"They are reacting!"
He glanced over at the hololith banks and saw the Alpha Legion vanguard creeping closer. They had clearly seen the same thing as they had, the divergence, the chance for breakout. Gunn smiled savagely. He could see the fast-attack frigates piling on engine burn, pulling ahead to clear the shots for the monsters beyond.
"You cannot stop this now,"
he murmured, speaking softly to his pursuers and watching the glowing runes shift like pieces on a regicide board.
"No one can."
They dragged the body through the blast doors, up into the closest sealable chamber. The two rune watchers took up position outside, leaving Kavar and the infiltrator alone. The rune priest propped the dark angel up against the chamber's wall. The remnants of his helm and gorget kept his head upright, and a mix of blood and drool ran down from his slackened mouth. Kavar gripped the dark angel's jaw and brought the tip of his staff closer. The shadow of the mounted skull fell across the warrior's battered face, making his features look cadaverous.
"Awaken,"
hissed Kavar, lifting the Dark Angel's chin. He could sense the flame of the warrior's soul burning weakly. It would not take much to snuff it out.
"Come back,"
Kavar said, sinking his own mind into that of his subject. He saw the soul running ahead of him, flitting like a deer between trees. He gave chase, weaving between shadowed boles, calling out. The dreamscape was not like any forest of Fenris. It was rich, mottled with verdancy, as ancient as the bones of the world upon which it stood. He caught up, grabbing the fleeing figure, reeling him back, tearing him out of the mirror realm and back into the world of the senses. The Dark Angel came too, coughing up blood, his eyes glassy and rolling.
Stay,
commanded Kavar, his hand slipping to the Dark Angel's exposed throat, feeling for the strength of his pulse.
I do not permit you to die.
The warrior stared stupidly for a moment, disorientated and struggling to breathe. Kavar waited, maintaining the barrier between the worlds lest the Dark Angel's soul slip back into the underverse. Slowly, his breathing returned to something close to normal. The bleeding clotted, the eyes clarified.
What are you named?
Asked Kavar. The Dark Angel did not reply. It didn't look like he'd understood.
What are you named?
Asked Kavar again, this time inflecting the words with command, forcing truth.
Ormond,
he rasped, hacking up more blood from his throat.
You are of the First Legion? As you see. What are you doing here?
I could ask the same thing.
Kavar let go of Ormond's jaw.
If your helm had not been broken,
you would have killed me.
Ormond hacked again.
Yes, that was the risk.
Kavar looked down at his armour, a decent resemblance to Sixth Legion markings.
It may still happen.
Ormond looked up at him, his breathing stabilising.
Traitor or loyal?
What?
That is the only question now. Who commands the attack dogs and the Hydra? But your answer matters not. We have the data. My mirror on the Alpha has done the same thing. Unless he was caught sooner than me. Perhaps they were quicker. After all, they are born to this.
Kavar narrowed his eyes.
You do not know what has happened, do you?
Prospero burns. The galaxy is riven by storms. Two legions enter the Alexis Nebula, each at each other's throats. Terror is cut off and all dreams become nightmares. What, in our position, would you do?
Kavar began to understand.
And there are more of you?
Many more.
Where?
Ormond tried to rise and failed, falling back against the chamber wall, his breath rattling.
You know nothing of this place. Alexis is a fortress. There are depths, and in those depths are treasures.
The lion,
Kavar ventured, grasping at the faint chance. For all their history of antagonism, the Primarch Lion-El Johnson and Russ together would surely be enough to turn the tide. Ormond's bitter smile returned then.
The lion? How would I know?
He edged closer, conspiratorially, as if enjoying the exchange of confidence.
And I care not, for I give less than a damn for the lion. None of us do.
Kavar must have given away his surprise, for a glint of satisfaction showed in Ormond's bloodshot eyes.
If you wish for the truth, it is this. We were sent to this place by Caliban's protector, following shameful orders that were obsolete before they were given. It is he who we follow. And it is by his will that you live or die.
Ormond smiled coldly.
Best you know this now, priest. You are among Luther's army now.
Russ and Bjorn entered the command bridge just as the tunnel intersection drew within 5,000 kilometres. For a moment, none but the guards at the gates noticed them, and all other eyes remained fixed on the forward oculus, the hololith projections and the fleet position indicators on the tactical screens. Russ waited for a moment, amused, standing with Bjorn and the two true wolves in isolation. Lord Gunn was the first to pick up the scent and twisted around. The others followed, greeting the Primarch's return with a mix of shock and relief.
What is this, then, Gunn? asked Russ, swaggering up to the throne.
The last I heard, you were on Ragnarok, where you belong.
Gunn glared back at Russ, still with one foot on the command throne dais.
There is a way out, Lord. The void beckons.
Bjorn remained at Russ's side, keeping close watch on the other warriors. The bridge hummed with an air of tight expectation. They were sniffing around one another, tasting the potential for violence. Aesir and Skryr drew closer to their liege lord. Grimnir and his followers shadowed them.
A way out, said Russ, musingly, looking at the projections. And a way in. It seems we have a choice.
Gunn's face flickered with exasperation.
Oh, you are jesting, of course.
Russ gazed around the bridge. His ruddy skin glowed with amusement, but there was a hard undertone to it.
I think the time for jesting has gone now, Gunnar, he said, flanked by Freki and Geri.
He glanced at the tactical displays, glimmering above them in hololithic translucence.
We will take the turn. We will go deeper in.
No!
Gunn's outburst was involuntary, an expression of pure frustration.
There is another way!
We have tried that, have we not?
Russ's voice dropped, as if offering the Jarl a way to back down without confrontation.
Gunn, no one doubts your valor. But this time, believe me, it will not be enough.
Gunn glanced up at the intersection, now rapidly approaching.
The movements have been planned,
he insisted. They can be changed.
Not now!
Gunn's face twisted into anger. As his stratagems dissolved, he was losing the fight.
Where have you been, Lord? The orders have been given.
You should have learned trust by now. We will not leave the cluster. We will take the route deeper in.
No! We will not!
Lord Gunn's fangs were bared. The old warrior was scarcely less imposing than his Primarch, a head shorter and less bulky in armour, but with the scarred, hook-fanged mien of the seasoned fighter.
I care not what the runes say. We have fled for long enough.
That was an open challenge. Bjorn felt his lightning claw twitch almost involuntarily and heard the throaty snarls from the true wolves. All across the bridge, warriors silently prepared themselves. Russ, though, reached for no weapon. He strolled over to Gunn, casually, his hands open and held loosely.
It has been hard for you, he said,
his voice still soft.
But I warn you, check yourself. I will need my shield-bearer at my side.
He already is,
said Gunn, witheringly, his eyes flickering towards Bjorn. Russ's gaze darkened.
Go back to Ragnarok. Take the order.
By then, the two of them were just a hand's breadth apart. Lord Gunn looked up at the Wolf King, his expression unreadable.
This is how it starts, the Primarch said to him. Resentment, real or imagined. It grows, and there are powers ready to feed on it. Do you think it was different with Horus? He made a mistake. One mistake, and that was the end. Do not be like him, brother. Remember your vows.
We were made to fight,
hissed Gunn, his defiance bleeding into something like desperation.
True enough, said Russ, reaching down, placing a gauntlet on his shoulder. But this is what divides us from the 12th Legion. We pick our battles. I will need you, Gunn. This will be your triumph.
Then he reached down and whispered something into the Jarl's ear. Bjorn was standing too far away to hear what was said, but it was brief, just a few words. When Russ lifted his head again, Gunn's expression had changed. It remained hard to read, but the defiance had gone. Russ turned away from him and addressed the bridge.
Deeper in,
he cried.
We have been shown a path. We will take it. Look to the viewers and see that the enemy knows our mind. Resume full burn. Realign the fleet to defensive formation. They will come at us now, just as they see what we do.
All across the bridge, thralls hurried to enact the new orders.
Grimnir's warriors stood down, withdrawing from the positions they had taken to defend the Primarch. Warning klaxons sounded as the new trajectory was entered. The deck shuddered as the plasma drives keyed into a new register, gaining speed again, sliding from one set of instructions to another. Lord Gunn stood silently for a while, as if all of that meant nothing. Then, without saying anything else, he turned, beckoning for his two escorts to follow him. Bjorn watched them head back to the teleporter station, though his attention was soon dragged back towards Russ. The Primarch strode to the edge of the dais, overlooking the ranks of his people. His wolves curled and paced around him, no longer sluggish, their fur standing stiffly and their fangs bared. Russ was reinvigorated, vital once more, calling out orders with his shoulders pushed back. All around him, the Legion crew raced to fulfill his demands. They went swiftly, surely, happier now that the chain of command was clear again, and their every movement betrayed the same singular fact. The Wolf King has returned. It was infectious, and Bjorn was not immune. As the Hrafnical sheered around, its damaged vastness responding to the new orders, he felt a shiver of anticipation. The Alpha Legion were closing. The coming manoeuvre would be tight and bloody, with no surety of success. No matter. The hunt called again.
"Now we must move," Kvar told Ormond.
The Dark Angel winced and tried to rise. The injuries he'd been given by the Rune Watchers were severe, though, and he collapsed. Kvar hissed with irritation and reached down to his belt. He emptied some dried herbs from a leather pouch, crushed them between his fingers and forced them into Ormond's mouth. The Dark Angel chewed, gagged, and nearly spat them out again.
"Throne," he slurred. "What foulness do you people eat?"
Kvar shot him a wintry smile.
"It will preserve you."
The rune priest grabbed him by the arm and hauled him up. Ormond managed to stagger to his feet, his flesh even paler than usual. The two of them limped to the doorway, Kvar supporting the heavy burden, Ormond struggling to keep his precarious footing. The door slid open, and the rune watchers came to their aid, sliding their hands under the Dark Angel's shoulders.
"The Lord of Winter and War is back on the throne," Kvar told his servants,
inclining his head for a moment, listening, sensing.
"We do not have much time."
"Then the choice has been made," slurred Ormond,
his head reeling as he was dragged along by the two silent rune watchers.
"You have no use for me."
"You know what waits for us if he takes the harder path."
"It matters not. I cannot help you now."
Kvar glared at him.
"You can tell him what lies at the heart of the Bloodwell."
"I did not come here to give you counsel."
Kvar forced the pace.
"We will see. He can be persuasive."
"So you'll hammer it out of me?"
Ormond coughed out a bloody laugh.
"Then your reputation is deserved."
Kvar rounded on him.
"We keep our oaths. While under my protection, you will not be harmed. I will take you into his presence, and you will see for yourself who is worthy of your counsel."
"It matters little," replied Ormond,
shrugging weakly.
"They already know all your secrets. Whether you live or die is no longer in your hands."
Kvar started walking again.
"That has been the case for a long time, Dark Angel," he muttered.
The Space Wolves' fleet shot into the intersection, breaking from the long tunnel and careering through the narrow chamber between the ways. Ahead of them lay the straight path leading to the exterior, a gaping maw amid the semi-stable clouds of swirling red. It would have been easy to plunge straight into that, following the spear-straight road to the open void, but instead, all the ships applied retro-thrusters, throwing flare patterns of angry neon ahead of themselves before twisting upwards to face the second opening. The Outriders were more agile, turning on their axes and angling over to the new course. The manoeuvre was a tougher proposition for the Leviathans, which burst into the intersection amid lattices of priming thruster burn, their massive bulk fighting hard against the sudden application of reverse force. Hrafnical was first out, having been pushed by Russ to take up the lead position, followed by Russ Van Gunn and Fenrisava. The rest of the fleet ships, frigates, destroyers, gunship carriers, picket vessels, piled in after them, still perilously close to one another, straining like cattle on the stampede. The turn was ludicrously tight. It would have been a challenge to execute, even without the closing presence of the Alpha Legion hunters. One of the flanking destroyers, a veteran of Void War from the earliest days of the Crusade, with the ident Sfat Sol, took the turn too wide and ran into a vomited corrosion spur on the sphere's inner edge. Its dagger-line profile tumbled further in as its plasma drives overloaded and explosions rippled along its flanks. The momentum was unstoppable, and Sfat Sol was swallowed up by the shifting innards of the cloud, its void shields crackling crazily, its systems exploding in series. Unable to pause, the main fleet powered onwards, sweeping around through the heart of the intersection chamber, taking up new positions, the smaller ships shifting and tacking to avoid the massive vessels on every side of them. A flurry of void mines was ejected in staggered waves to block the entry point, but little else could be done to slow the Alpha Legion advance. Every crew member on every vessel was fully occupied in bringing the fleet into its new orientation. All except one. Ragnarok was the last out, and made no attempt to haul its prow into line. Instead, the battleship rolled into a broadside attitude, standing sentinel over the chamber's entry point, its guns already primed to fire. As soon as Bjorn saw that, watching the encounter unfold from the bridge of Hrafnakel, he knew what had been conveyed.
"Did you order this?"
he asked Russ, unable to take his eyes off Ragnarok's position.
"I freed him to take his own course," said Russ,
concentrating on the route ahead, his gaze barely flickering. The first Alpha Legion vessels broke through the mine cordon, crashing into the spinning points and detonating trails of plasma along their sides. Two were destroyed in crashing balls of flame, but four got through, then seven more, until the Forerunners were surging through the gap. Forward lances whined into life, ready to cut through the still-turning heart of the Wolves' fleet. But one obstacle lay between them and their prey. The Ragnarok opened up with a full broadside volley, its macro cannons spitting colossal amounts of ordnance into the approaching Alpha Legion offensive front. The fire pattern was that of a commander with nothing to lose. There was no attempt to conserve ammunition, just an unloading of every last scrap of ship-killing potential left in the warship's battered frame. The whole vessel shook as its wrath was poured out, and the red glow of the clouds was temporarily eclipsed by the supernova of weapons discharge. Alpha Legion corvettes exploded instantly, blown apart as their shields were overwhelmed. Follow-up craft were immolated in turn, caught by the expanding waves of solid round fire that punched through void shields and smashed apart armor plates.
"He cannot follow now," observed Bjorn,
watching as Ragnarok dragged itself into a full halt, holding sentinel over the entrance to the intersection and throwing all its remaining rage at the oncoming maelstrom. By then, Hrafnakel had angled for the escape. Along with the rest of the fleet, the flagship kicked main thrusters back to full power and leapt forwards, accelerating hard for the second of the two apertures, the one that led deeper into Alexis. Scattered long-range fire from the lead Alpha Legion ships raked across its flanks, but most was absorbed by the Ragnarok, still interposed between the two fleets, a lone guardian blocking the gate.
"He does what he must," said Russ, his jaw clenched tight.
The aperture ahead of them was as tight and constricted as any of the others, and bringing the entire fleet through it would be an act of supreme ship mastery. Hrafnakel's structure screamed as the engines ramped up, hurling it away from the battle in a burst of thruster blaze. The remaining capital ships followed, speeding up to full velocity, their plowshare muzzles dipping for re-entry. The aperture's edge raced towards them, ragged, gaping like a maul wound, and exposing the contorted tunnel route within. Bjorn glanced up at one of the real viewports, an iron-rimmed window filled with the dark shadow of the Ragnarok. He wanted to call out, or salute, or mark the stand in some fitting way, but all gestures seemed futile. The aperture's lip swept past, and the roiling mass of cluster cloud blurred the port, blocking sight of the doomed battleship.
Until next winter, breathed Bjorn, bowing his head.
Maintain fire rate! Roared Gunn,
striding back and forth across his bridge, ignoring the showers of sparks and the shrieks of tearing metal. Aesir and Skryr remained at his side, though the rest of the great company had taken to the saviour pods and were now surging across to the sanctuary of the Rusvangum. Every hand who could be spared had been jettisoned, leaving behind only those required to man the guns, to keep the broadsides hammering, to keep the shield generators powered for as long as possible. Thousands had been saved. Thousands would still die.
You should go too,
he told them.
Aesir grinned back.
No pods remain. In any case, I wish to see this.
Lord Gunn grunted, half approving, before turning back to the business of hurling out orders.
Hold position! Do not drift!
The Alpha Legion were pouring through the gap now, spilling out of the tunnel like rats from a pipe. Ragnarok's assault had accounted for many more of the smaller escorts, which blazed and fizzed like firecrackers. But now the capital ships were emerging, their armoured prows able to weather the storm and their lances glowing hot for the strike. The first impact struck halfway along the Ragnarok's facing flank, a line of searing white that punched through the outer hull and into the decks beyond, shredding adamantium and melting steel. Two more shots scythed inwards, spat out from the looming shadows of the Zeta Teleos and Gamma Lycurgus. Ragnarok's bridge rocked, and a buttress crashed down from the roof near the forward-facing oculus. Cracks zigzagged across the deck, followed by the ominous creak of spars flexing.
"Keep faring!"
bellowed Gunn, knowing his voice would be transmitted to all gunnery levels, amplified to all crews still sweating at their stations, even as the ship's decks rippled and cracked around them.
"The hounds have been loosed,"
said Skryr, his voice darkly appreciative.
"Here come the masters."
Ragnarok was losing position now, hammered back by the rain of incoming projectiles. Some escort-class ships had powered on past, swinging upwards to follow the escaping wolves' main fleet, but the tight confines of the intersection chamber made a pass by the bigger ships more dangerous. They would have to destroy the Ragnarok first.
"This is the one,"
said Gunn, striding over to a distorted tactical hololith that hissed with white noise and pointing at a new ident rune emerging into the intersection chamber. It was the Delta, the largest of many of that name. Sleek-jowled and sparse-framed, a hunter-killer of impeccable pedigree, its prow glistening sapphire and its weapon ranks pristine in polished steel. So many of the Alpha Legion ships were in prime condition, laid down last in the long line of Martian foundry orders and unscarred by centuries of war. Not for the first time Lord Gunn cursed the 20th Legion's place in the Great Crusade. They had not suffered. They had not conquered. And now they were positioned to break the back of a legion that had done both. Aesir was already sending orders to the burning engine rooms. Skryr was commanding the response crews to shore up what bulkheads remained, to limit the spread of the fires that surged down the crumbling network of corridors and shafts. Gunn remained in position, watching as the Delta edged closer. Its flanks were already alight, hurling lasbeams at Ragnarok's failing void shields, cycling up for lance strikes into its smouldering bows. That one battleship could already muster power far in excess of that left to Gunn, and the Ragnarok was also being hit by volleys from a dozen more ships.
"Enact,"
he said, his eyes alight with fervour.
"Now!"
The Delta remained at range, hanging over the Ragnarok's prow and discharging its deadly payload. Its commander planned to cut up his prey from a distance, clinically, harbouring his already overbearing strength for the greater battle to come. Ragnarok shuddered as the course change order filtered down to the Enginarium. The blackened prow swept upwards, driving directly into the heart of the storm, and its forward reel viewers were lost in a haze of multicolour as the remaining void shields took the strain.
"Slower,"
ordered Gunn. His hearts were hammering now, his eyes fixed on the prize. The Delta was a similar size to Ragnarok, and the two immense vessels, one burning, the other undamaged, dwarfed all others in immediate range.
"Not yet."
All his remaining guns angled aft of the Alpha Legion battleship, slicing past its rear thrusters. The final salvos of torpedoes were launched, along the same trajectory, snaking impotently towards Delta's hindquarters. It was trivial for the Alpha Legion navigators to keep their ship away from such erratically aimed dregs. All they had to do was hold station, hovering just under the curve of the blood-red clouds and raining more accurate fire down on the approaching Ragnarok. But holding station was all gun required of them. A ranged firefight was not what he had in mind.
"Now! Everything!"
he roared.
"Everything!"
The jump in power was instant. The Ragnarok had sacrificed all else to give itself one last boost to the plasma drives, a final surge. Its spine aflame, its weapons gone, its shields flickering out, but still with just enough brute mass to endure the desperate barrage from its target. The Delta saw the danger too late and tried to move, but it was hemmed in, trapped against the inner wall of the gas clouds, caught ahead of the arriving Alpha Legion ships and blocked below by the rapidly closing mass of Ragnarok. The two monsters hurtled towards one another, one flaying its engines in direct-line speed, the other twisting awkwardly to evade the collision. Gunn drew in a deep, satisfied breath, seeing the outcomes narrow down. He watched as the Delta's flanks filled the forward oculus, rank after rank of raging macro cannons, huge overhanging plates of sapphire hull sections, the Hydra icon of the enemy picked out in bronze and verdigris.
"I still serve," he whispered.
Ragnarok's prow crashed into the Delta amidships, plunging through its outer shields with a rolling crack of dissipating energy fields. The entire bridge slammed over, tilting hard. Armor glass shattered, the floor thrust up, and the remaining thralls were thrown from their stations. Aesir was crushed as one of the supporting pillars came down across him, while Skryr was lost in a riot of explosions down in the servitor pits. Lord Gunn alone kept his feet, staring up at the carnage overtaking both ships. For all its incredible mass and momentum, Ragnarok's charge was not enough to break the Delta apart. Its prow lodged deep, grinding to a halt amid the twisted glut of melded decks. The Delta's own powerful engines kicked back, and the snap and boom of macro charges announced the imminent arrival of boarding parties. All of that, though, was now useless. The Ragnarok's charge had not been launched with the aim of destroying the Delta, but to push them both into the looming tunnel's edge. As Gunn's bridge began to fold in on itself, the first blush of crimson rushed across the Delta's trapped flank, gnawing at the reactive shield cover. He began to laugh, taking pleasure in the kill. He was alone now, his crew slain, his throne consumed by fire, his domain imploding. A cluster of cables swung down from the roof, spewing sparks that skittered and bounded across the deck. From below, he heard the booms of the superstructure coming apart, consigning any still alive to the chill of the void. It had been enough. The engine still burned, disconnected from his control, but raging with their inferno hearts, shoving both ships into the embrace of corrosion. He imagined the panic spreading on the Delta, cascading from deck to deck. He imagined the fury of the commanders and the scrabbling, futile search for teleporters before all was lost.
"No time left,"
he said out loud, savouring the knowledge. Ahead of him, witnessed through the jagged edge of smashed armour glass viewers, the Delta was clawed apart, its outer shell oxidised and its soft innards burst into pulp. Something huge detonated, fuel lines perhaps, or a shield generator, and a tide of unleashed fire swept from stern to bow, breaking up hull plates as it travelled. The entire structure shivered, and deep explosions blew out from its heart. The spine broke, folding around the Ragnarok's onward trajectory like a crumpled fist. Tangled together, the two void titans tumbled deeper into the consuming haze, their hides bubbling and bursting, their bowels igniting. By the end, Gunn could see nothing but the walls of his own kingdom collapsing in on him. Pillars crumbled, arches disintegrated, view portals clogged. But Gunnar Gunnhilt knew. He knew, as his own ship crushed the life out of him, that he had driven his enemy into the blood well and destroyed them both, and that in the apocalypse of their mutual annihilation, the rest of the fleet had been given just a little longer to evade their own reckoning. So he had served. In the end, given all vows, that was all he had ever wanted.
"For us and the All-Father!"
he roared, smiling, as the darkness took him. The Hrafnical hurtled along the winding capillary, its shields flaring as it scraped the edges of the devouring shoals. Ragnarok's sacrifice had given them a start, but the Alpha Legion did not slacken the pursuit. Russ drove the remains of his fleet mercilessly, flogging their engines harder and pushing them deeper down. Their progress was visible on the tactical schematics, a strung-out line of battleships, bereft of formation, corkscrewing in procession as they raced further into the cluster. More had been lost on the turn, to the Alpha Legion's forward guns or to the ravening cloudbanks, but the core had held, bolstered by the backbone given by the Nidhogger, Fenrisava, and Rusfangum. Hrafnical had pulled to the fore, its Gloriana-class engines still potent despite the horrific damage they had taken. Bjorn could only watch. He had no control now. The captured Iota Malephilus was commanded by Godsmote and still burned along with the rest of the fleet. It was a wretched sight. The Sixth Legion limping ahead of destruction, its warships a motley mix of the looted and the crippled. And in all of that, with all the rush and race, he had still not asked the question of his Primarch.
"What do you hope to find in there, Lord?" he asked.
Russ, absorbed in the command of his flagship, barely acknowledged him.
"Find in there?"
he pursed his lips.
"Guesses?"
Before Bjorn could press him further, the blast doors at the rear of the bridge hissed open. Kvar burst in, followed by his two rune watchers, who between them dragged the bloodied body of a Sixth Legion warrior.
"Lord," the rune priest announced, "you will wish to see this."
As he approached, all those on the command dais, Grimnir, Bjorn, Russ, and the others of the Legion's honor guard, instantly sensed the wrongness. The half-conscious warrior looked Vilka Fenrika, but he smelled like nothing of the kind. Russ gazed down at the captive.
"Kvar," he said, "what have you dredged up?"
"The First Legion," replied the rune priest, pulling Ormond's chin up and exposing his face.
Russ drew closer. Ormond stared up at him blearily.
"And what are you doing on my ship, Dark Angel?"
asked Russ, sounding genuinely curious.
"You are a long way from home."
Ormond coughed, and blood flecked his lips.
"Not so far, Lord."
Russ's eyes narrowed.
"Then what dwells here? You know this?"
"I have seen your fleet data, Lord,"
said Ormond.
"I have seen your damage tally. I know what pursues you. Frankly, I do not think you will live to see what dwells in the Alexis Nebula."
Russ smiled.
"Just like your gene, sire," he said fondly. "Arrogant Skitna."
Fricky sidled close, snickering. Russ was about to ask him more when the forward scopes suddenly streamed with fresh data. The Hrafnical shipmaster called out and routed the new sensor readings to the overhead tactical lenses.
"Lord,"
the shipmaster reported,
"the tunnel ends."
All eyes snapped to the picked screens. The twisting gas tube was giving out, opening up. A long way ahead, the walls of churning cloud fell away, spreading into a broad bowl. Soon it became apparent that the gulf was vast, far larger than the chambers they had already passed through. Long-range augurs beamed images of a lightning-bound sphere within the depths of the cluster, an abyss ringed by distant walls of the ship-burning plasma. Mid-range augurs plumbed less than a third of it. The rest gaped away, a world-sized lacuna circled by fire. All knew what that meant. The perilous safety offered by the closed-in world of the cluster had ended, and they were headed back into a space big enough for many fleets to deploy. Russ looked at the data grimly. A flicker of confusion marred his grizzled features, as if some promise had been broken. He looked at Grimnir, at the shipmaster, then at Kvar.
So Gunn was right, he said dryly. There is no protection for us within. Send out word to the fleet. On my mark, turn to face the enemy.
He could never look entirely unhappy, not with the prospect of battle, whatever odds remained. He reached for Mjolnir, ignoring the Dark Angel.
No more running, he said. We make our stand here.